This is Helpline on April 24th, 2010. Now, sometimes I need to just sober up and get to what's real. And what's real this morning is that we're going to talk about and hear excerpts from a book called Beyond Forgetting, which is poetry and prose about Alzheimer's disease by people who have walked the walk. And we're going to be guided through this by the editor of Beyond Forgetting, Holly Hughes, who is joining us by phone from beautiful downtown wherever. Holly, are you there?
I am. I'm happy to be here.
Good morning. Thanks for doing this with us.
You bet.
Now, listen, y'all, having read the book, here's what I can tell you about what you're going to hear this morning. It will be beautiful, it will be sad, and it will be the truth, which will make it a lot like real life. This will be worth your time.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I'm honored to be here. This has been a labor of love for me, putting together this collection of poems, and I'm eager to share it with people who I think might benefit from it. So I appreciate this opportunity.
Well, we're the crowd this morning. We'll go to break and get to it.
Now's the time to make the move to Parkview Villas. Enjoy the golden years of your life at Parkview Villas Assisted Living Facility. Parkview Villas has the lowest monthly assisted living fees in Clallam County. You'll enjoy fun-filled activities, beautiful surroundings, housekeeping, and meals every day. And move in now and you'll receive a $500 off move-in special. Call Parkview Villas today at 452-7222 to schedule a tour. Parkview Villas. Bring retirement to life.
Olympic Medical Center congratulates local orthopedic surgeons Dr. Jim Mowry and Dr. Bob Watkins, who were recently honored with the 2010 Outstanding Rural Health Provider Award from the Washington Rural Health Association. Dr. Mowry and Dr. Watkins earned this distinction due to their efforts to sustain 24/7 emergency orthopedic surgery in our community, in turn helping to maintain our vital Level 3 Trauma Center. On behalf of Olympic Medical Center, thank you, Dr. Mowry and Dr. Watkins, for your compassion, expertise, and exceptional service.
It's Wilder Auto's biggest sale of the season. The annual pre-owned mega off-site sale is going on now at the JCPenney parking lot in Squim. Cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, fuel-efficient hybrids, and RVs, all sale-tagged and ready to drive off the lot today and tomorrow only. Don't miss out on excellent selection. On-site financing as low as 2.9% and 2 years of oil changes with every car purchase. Wilder Auto's pre-owned mega parking lot sale.
Okay, I'm Mark. This is Helpline. And this morning we are about an amazing book called Beyond Forgetting, Poetry and Prose about Alzheimer's Disease. And we're speaking with the editor of same this morning, Holly Hughes. Holly, are you there with the cat?
I am. I've got my cat and my dog, in fact.
And you probably got jammies and donuts and all of us. Okay, we're jealous.
Yeah.
Holly, read us a piece so folks have an idea of what we're talking about.
Thank you, Mark. I thought I would just jump right in and read the piece that I wrote that's collected in this collection. I was the editor, and so most of the, there's 100 writers represented, and I only included one poem of mine, but because the poem was sort of the catalyst for the book, I'll start with that.
Great.
And the poem is called The Bath. And I can give you a little bit more background after I read it.
Okay.
The bath. The tub fills inch by inch as I kneel beside it, trail my fingers in the bright braid of water. Mom perches on the toilet seat, entranced by the ritual, until she realizes the bath for her. Oh, no, she says, drawing her three layers of shirts to her chest, crossing her arms and legs. Oh, no, I couldn't, she repeats, brow furrowing, that look I now recognize like an approaching squall. I abandon reason, the hygiene argument, promise a Hershey's bar if she will just please take off her clothes. Oh no, she repeats, her voice rising. Meanwhile, the water is cooling. I strip off my clothes, step into it, let the warm water take me completely, slipping down until only my face shines up, a moon mask. Mom stays with me, interested now in this turn of events. I sit up. Will you wash my back, Mom? So much gone, but let this still be there. She bends over to dip the washcloth in the still warm water, squeezes it, lets it dribble down my back, leans over to rub the butter pad of soap, swiping each armpit, then rinses off the suds with long practice strokes. I turn around to thank her, catch her smiling, lips pursed, humming. Still a mother with a daughter whose back needs washing.
Wow. some of us who have been there, done that, understand. That's amazing, Holly. I mentioned in the intro that you've walked the walk, and that was your poem. What does it mean to you?
Well, this poem was about washing, giving my mother a bath. And for those of us who've been down this path, we know that bathing becomes really problematic. And
yeah.
I learned so much from my mother, from walking this with her. And that poem, I think, for me, was a real turning point in realizing that I had to be in the present moment of whatever was happening, and that when I could do that, these moments of grace would happen, such as the moment that's described in the poem. And I have to say, too, that because I'm a writer, I turn to poetry when the going gets tough. And so I began writing poems and keeping a journal about my experiences caregiving for my mother, and that really helped me through it. And that is kind of ultimately, that's where the whole collection began, is that I realized other people may also be writing, and perhaps a collection would be a benefit to more people. So I put out a call for submissions, and within a couple months I had over 500 submissions, and I put this collection together.
Really? When you say put out a call, how did you do that?
Well, these days, with Internet, it's really pretty easy.
Okay.
The call went out. I just posted it on a couple listservs that I knew writers and poets would read, and people would forward them to whoever they knew. And, I mean, it just spread like wild. And I was receiving submissions from England and Italy, and literally went all around the world. And luckily, it got to the people who had written work, and they sent beautiful, moving pieces in. So I had the luxury of just some very powerful poetry to collect, and I also included some prose pieces as well, some short prose pieces.
Well, that speaks to several things, not the least of which is that this is a global experience. It is a universal experience for many, many caregivers. The title, Beyond Forgetting, where did that come from?
You know, Mark, ever since I started this project, I knew that was the title, and I'm not sure. I think it came to me in a dream or something. But what I like about it is that it really operates on a couple levels. One is the people we love and we are losing to this, you know, terrible disease are beyond forgetting. And this was my effort to, you know, remember my mother and pay tribute to her. But it's also a second meaning, too, which is that as a culture, I think we need to move beyond just viewing the people who are afflicted with this disease as only their minds, and remember that there's still a lot there, even when they are not able to remember our names, able to remember what happened to them, you know, 2 hours ago. I just returned from a conference, actually, in which there was a lot of discussion about this and the need for compassion and the need to honor who they are and what they can do, not just what they've lost. And when I was able to do that in my own caregiving of my mother, it was a real shift. When I was able to be with her where she was, instead of wanting her to be the mother she'd always been to me, there was so much more possibilities for both of us.
You know, there is a huge conceptual shift in here, Holly, because a lot of us who have walked the walk or are walking the walk, we are so busy, understandably, trying to get the next thing done, and the bath illustrates that beautifully. We've got to get this done, we've got to get that done, and that can be pretty tough when you're working with somebody who isn't really with you in that get it done sort of mode. You walk the walk, what did you learn?
Well, again, you know, I come back to, you know, I have a Buddhist practice, and the Buddhists tell us that, you know, we all we really have is the present moment. And that's so true of people with Alzheimer's disease. And it just kept reminding me to just be in the present with whatever was happening and try to accept it and not fight it, not resist it. And so sometimes we really have to be creative in the ways that we respond to what's happening. And one of the interesting things that came up at the conference yesterday was that there's a lot of good work going on now with working with people with Alzheimer's disease, giving them the opportunity to be creative, because music, for example, singing, painting, things where they're not being asked to remember can sometimes be a really rewarding a way to engage them. And I'm really heartened to see that there's a lot more of this going on. There's a wonderful program called Time Slips. There's programs with music. The Alzheimer's Association, of course, is a great support for all of this. But I do know, too, from having walked the walk, that sometimes it's just a matter of getting through the day. And I think that, again, what I learned is that, you know, having lots of support, having people who can step in is really important if you're doing this alone.
Well, there is some amazing work going on. I don't know if you're familiar with Judith Kate Friedman over in Port Townsend working with Songwriting Works.
Yeah.
She and they do some amazing work, and if you've been a part of that, watching folks with Alzheimer's or whatever dementia it might be, becoming very involved and very alive, it's an amazing thing.
That's a perfect illustration. Yeah, I am aware of that program.
Amazing thing
to be a part
of.
Luckily, there are more and more of those programs, so I think it's important to try to seek them out. Yeah.
Now, you know, again, some of us who are or were caregivers, we're still thinking about your poem, The Bath. Did the bath get done, or did it matter?
You know, it didn't matter. It got done later. What I learned with my mother is that a fight was never worth it.
Yeah.
we both lost.
Amen, lady.
Yeah, and really what worked the best for, in my situation, with her was to find something to engage her, to distract her, and then try again later. You know, that there was no use in trying. And so I got a bath, you know.
Yeah.
And that was good. And you know, eventually she got a bath, too, when she was not quite so resistant.
But the point is, y'all had a moment with each other that you wouldn't have had.
Exactly.
Life is an amazing place.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll go to break.
The Fifth Avenue Retirement Center in Squim is pleased to announce the partnership and on-site office of Homestead Senior Care. The Fifth Avenue offers an atmosphere of relaxed elegance and affordable sophistication catering to the independent senior, and with the arrival of Homestead, can now provide assistance with personal care services and support activities of daily living. Homestead is a professional, insured, and bonded care agency. Call the Fifth Avenue Retirement Center to schedule a private tour of this beautiful facility. 683-3345.
Not many people prefer to isolate themselves in their homes just because of mobility problems. A lot of those problems with transportation can be relieved by public transit. I know it doesn't seem possible, but call Clallam Transit, the bus, and find out what they can provide. You very well could learn that you could sell your car and just use the bus for wherever you want to go. The highway fatality rate for seniors is up these days. Take the bus. Safe, convenient, and inexpensive.
Now's the time to make the move to Parkview Villas. Enjoy the golden years of your life at Parkview Villas Assisted Living Facility. Parkview Villas has the lowest monthly assisted living fees in Clallam County. You'll enjoy fun-filled activities, beautiful surroundings, housekeeping, and meals every day. And move in now and you'll receive a $500 off move-in special. Call Parkview Villas today at 452-7222 to schedule a tour. Parkview Villas. Bring retirement to life.
Okay, well, bringing us to life this morning, we're joined by Holly Hughes on the phone, who is the editor of Beyond Forgetting, Poetry and Prose About Alzheimer's Disease. Holly, would you read us some more?
I'd be delighted to. I thought I would read a poem that sort of illustrates what I was talking about earlier, that, you know, we are more than our just our logical, linear brain. And in this poem, I also, for my mother, she just delighted in the natural world, and that was another way that I was always able to kind of take our minds off a struggle. If I could, you know, point out a beautiful sunset or a bird, she could watch birds endlessly. So this poem talks about that. It's called Your True Life, and it's by a wonderful poet by the name of Linda Alexander, who was writing about her father, who was a journalist. You lost track of things, burnt the toast, forgot to pay the phone bill. One day, you could not decide the way home. Someone took you by the hand and led you. Now everything is made simple, all answered by a smile or a nod. In the late afternoon, you watch ducks gather, spread over the shining lake. Those who knew you when your mind tangled with a thousand worries whisper behind you, regret the stillness. Yet here is your true life, the bright unruffled water, a sudden lift of wings. And I wanted to just add the little note. One of the things I asked the writers to do was to provide some context for the poem. And I'd like to just read, and this comes at the bottom of the page. And this poet wrote, it is difficult, it is a challenge for a poet to understand a life without speech. Harder still to watch a man of words like my father, journalist Holmes Alexander, fall into such deep silence. Yet the simple shining peace of sitting with him as he gave up the daily struggle became for me a beautiful kind of meditation. So even now after his death, when I sit observing the small movements of the natural world, momentarily I can remember what matters.
Yeah, that's a lovely touch, having that contextual piece at the end of each poem. Why? Why did you go there?
Well, you know, I had the benefit as the editor. I was reading through these stacks and stacks of poems with cover letters, and each cover letter told a story. And I was usually doing this between the hours of 11 p.m. and 1 because I was teaching full-time, and was the only time I had. And this was soon after the loss of my mother, and I would be in tears reading these beautiful poems and then knowing the story. And because that seemed so important, I asked the poets to just include two or three sentences, just enough to give us a context, because I really want this collection to be a companion. And I think it makes us feel connected to the writer, knowing the story, knowing that they've been down this path too, and that they've lost someone. And the feedback is that it is valuable, and I'm glad to hear that.
That's well said, a companion, because as you read through this, and I have, there are so many times when I said to myself, find myself nodding, I get that. It makes it real. Not all of your contributors are actual poets. Is that right, Holly? I mean, some of them are just regular folks.
That's right. And that's what I really love about this collection. I received wonderful poems from a huge range of professional poets, of course, beautiful poems, prize-winning poets, but also the poems from nurses and hospice workers and doctors and people who are really working, you know, kind of in the trenches with this disease, sisters and mothers, I mean, daughters and sons, family members. It really was a whole range. And that, again, as an editor, that's what I was hoping for, and I was so happy to receive all the submissions that I did.
What's the conceptual basis for the organization of the book? Because obviously it isn't random. What's the deal with that?
Thank you for asking. I spent a fair amount of time on this, and basically it follows the progression of the disease, again, because I wanted it to be useful. I wanted it to be a companion. And so you can read it from front to back, and you will, you know, be accompanied. And you can also dip into it and just read a poem at a time. I know it's not a book you read all in one sitting, but it is organized that way. And the titles of each section come from the titles of the poems. And there were so many beautiful titles that it was really a delight to be able to kind of organize it in section and take advantage of some of those titles, like Lay Back the Darkness, based on a beautiful poem by Ed Hirsch, or Azure Dissolve, or one by a local poet, My Mind is a Cold Oven. And she will be reading, actually, maybe this is a good chance to mention this, that on May 12th, in Port Hadlock, close by, I'm in Chimacum, we'll have a reading with Tess Gallagher, who wrote the foreword, Lana Hechtman Ayres, who lives in Kingston, Alice Derry, who is from Port Angeles, and, of course, me. We'll be reading from Beyond Forgetting at the WSU campus in Port Hadlock. That reading will be at 7 p.m. in the Spruce Room. And we'll have more information, if you didn't get that, on the Beyond Forgetting website, as well as a map with directions.
Oh, excellent. So if folks just Google Beyond Forgetting, they can get to it?
They can. can. They can Google Beyond Forgetting, and the actual website is Beyond Forgetting Book, all one word,
.com.
Yeah, and information on all the readings. We've actually, I just got back from a reading in Denver. We've been on quite a reading tour this year, but I'm really happy to be reading right in my own community, just, you know, 10 minutes away from my home.
Yeah, keep you back home. What kind of, as you do this around the country, what kind of feedback do you hear from people? I mean, are there regional differences, or again, is this kind of a universal global experience?
You know, I think it's pretty universal. I mean, I haven't detected necessarily, you know, regional differences. For me, it's a pleasure to be doing this reading tour because I get to meet these wonderful writers, 100 of them that I've just been corresponding with by email. But every case, the turnout is, I think it's a good response. People are grateful to have these poems. I just received a note from one of the writers whose father had lost his father to Alzheimer's disease, and she said being at the reading allowed him to talk about the experience for the first time ever. He really hadn't been able to. I'm so grateful to hear that. You know,
wow.
And I'm glad. Another wonderful response. I laughed because, you know, my hope was that this book would be a companion, and one of the when I was introduced at one of the bookstores, the introduction, the bookstore owner said, this book is it's a portable support group, and you don't have to go to meetings.
Well, you know, that's not far off, actually. Yeah. So many caregivers of folks with dementia become so isolated.
That's right. Yeah, and you can't go to meetings. I mean, even if you wanted to, you really need to be home. So I was I loved hearing that analogy, and I love thinking that it could work that way.
Oh, that's great. I said in the intro that it will be beautiful and it will be sad, and certainly there is sadness in here. There is also humor. There is also hope. There's also light. I guess I just don't want people to come away from this conversation thinking that this is a compendium of heart-rending sadness. It isn't.
Yeah, and that was very much my intention as editor, was to include some light poems, too. And I have a very short one I'd love to read.
Please.
Time.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Okay, good. This poem is called Early Alzheimer's, and when we were talking earlier about, you know, poems came from all kinds of sources, the woman, Cheryl Nelms, the poet, her little note says, I make a living as an insurance adjuster. This poem came from a claim that I had at work. It was a true story. Early Alzheimer's. Emma set her kitchen on fire because she forgot she was cooking. But the water gushing through the ceiling for the bath she forgot she was taking put it out. And you can imagine, my delight in encountering this poem and the stack of other poems and being able to just laugh at this wonderful, the humor. I think we need to be able to laugh as well as cry. And there are many moments of humor. I think everybody who's been down this path knows that. And you really have to, I think, treasure those as well.
Oh, absolutely. And we all have to learn very quickly that there's a huge difference between laughing at and laughing with.
That's right.
We got to go to break.
Okay.
Olympic Medical Center congratulates local orthopedic surgeons Dr. Jim Mowry and Dr. Bob Watkins, who were recently honored with the 2010 Outstanding Rural Health Provider Award from the Washington Rural Health Association. Dr. Mowry and Dr. Watkins earned this distinction due to their efforts to sustain 24/7 emergency orthopedic surgery in our community, in turn helping to maintain our vital Level 3 Trauma Center. On behalf of Olympic Medical Center, thank you, Dr. Mowry and Dr. Watkins, for your compassion, expertise, and exceptional service.
Surrounded by breathtaking mountain views, the cottages at the Lodge at Sherwood Village provide maximum privacy and upscale amenities. The cottages are spacious 2 to 3 bedroom craftsman-style homes with private patios and attached garages. Take part in the full calendar of events and activities offered at the Lodge. Enjoy your independence and relax with friends for a restaurant-style meal. Call for your personal tour today. The cottages at the Lodge at Sherwood Village. Luxury retirement living in Squim. 681-3100.
Okay, I'm Mark. This is Helpline, and we're speaking with Holly Hughes, who's the editor of Beyond Forgetting, poetry and prose about Alzheimer's disease. Holly, can you do some more for us?
I'd love to. I thought I would just talk a little bit. Earlier we were talking about kind of the comfort that we can get from poetry, and mm-hmm. I thought I would read a short excerpt of a poem, a wonderful poem by a writer, Susan Ludvigsen. It's called Where We Have Come, and this short excerpt, she lost her mother to Alzheimer's disease, and this short excerpt is just called The Solace of Poems. To discover them is to link with the unbroken griefs we name and rename. The death by degrees of a mother is a kind of death of self. Without a mirror, I see my face, her mouth pinched, no from the inside, fingers tapping the table, an almost demure drop of the head. This is part of it. But to see loss black on white is to be comforted a moment in the early hours, not left alone. And this is what I hope these poems will do, is to be of comfort, to be of solace to people, especially in those difficult early hours.
Holly, why poetry?
It's a good question. I think for me, poetry is a wonderful way of distilling. It really kind of, it's distilled language, it's focus on mm-hmm. detail, the honesty in poetry. It allows us, I think, to witness what's happening in a way that honors it and that transforms it as well, that it becomes transformative through the act of witnessing it. Jane Hirschfield, a poet that I really admire, has said some beautiful things, has written some beautiful essays, and I'd just like to quote from one of her essays, Poetry and Uncertainty. She writes, "Poetry comes into being as a response to a kind of fracture of knowing and sureness, from not understanding yet still meeting what arrives."
Ooh,
and then, yeah.
That was pretty good. Whoa, I interrupted you.
Well, she goes on to say there's a little second part of that quote, if I could also add that. In entering the imaginative, metaphoric, or narrative expression of another, even if it is the expression of pain, longing, or fear, you find yourself less lonely, accompanied in this life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hope these poems will do, is accompany people on this difficult path.
Which takes us back to your earlier comment about it's designed to be a companion. I think that's well said.
Thank you. Yeah.
Where can we get our hands on this thing? Where can we get this book?
If you go to the website, you'll have a link to order it from Kent State University Press. But what you can also do, and what I suggest people do, is go to your local bookstore and. They may carry it, and if they don't, ask them to carry it. There's a lot of local writers in it, and I think they would probably be happy to order it. So that's probably the best way, or to come to the reading in Port Hadlock and meet some of the local writers. I mentioned Alice Derry from Port Angeles, Lana mm-hmm. Heckman from Kingston, and Tess Gallagher, also from Port Angeles, who's just getting back from Ireland and who will be joining us. And her foreword, I wanted to just say a few words about
Please.
It.
Uh-huh.
She wrote a beautiful, moving foreword about losing her mother, Georgia, to Alzheimer's disease. And she was really in the thick of it when she wrote this. And it comes through so powerfully in this in her piece. And the book, actually, Beyond Forgetting, is dedicated to both my mother, Colleen Hughes, and her mother, Georgia Bond. And so I'm so grateful to Tess, because not only did she write a beautiful foreword, but she also was very much a midwife for this collection and really encouraged me and supported me. We went through this together, this passage with our mothers, and I'm so grateful to her for the role that she played in it as well. And so she will also be at the reading. So I really hope that people might be able to join us that night on May 12th.
Yeah, May 12th, WSU in Port Hadlock, right? And what did I hear, 7 p.m.?
7 p.m., that's
okay.
Right.
All right. Were you and Tess Gallagher walking the walk at the same time?
Well, within a couple years, yeah, Yeah, her mother was just starting to decline when my mother was, you know, in the thick of it. So her mother's death came a few years later. But we were, you know, around the same time.
And were you in touch while this was going on?
We were, yeah.
So you were to some degree a support and a teaching dynamic for each other.
That's right, yeah.
Because most of us have had to learn the hard way.
Oh, you really need you need company on this path.
Ooh.
I have to say, and I was so grateful for Tessa's companioning, and I know that she had support from many people in her community in Port Angeles.
Sure,
as well.
Sure. An awful lot of us learn an awful lot of that OJT. But
yeah.
If somebody can come along and say, well, by the way, if you try this, go, oh, wow, there you go. I wish I'd known that 6 months ago, but, you know, that's how that goes. Can you read us some more?
Sure. I have to find.
Yeah, just whack the dog, you know, and get back to the book here.
Oh, let's see. What should I read? I'm trying to find a shorter one.
We don't require short.
Actually, you know, speaking of Tess, what I'd like to do is read a little bit from her foreword.
Excellent.
It's just such a beautiful foreword.
It is.
She talks about some of the things that that we've mentioned earlier. So it's a good illustration. And so this is jumping around little pieces. And actually, if you go to the website, there's an excerpt of her foreword there as well. But it's really nice to read the whole thing. So forgive me for just reading a little snippet here.
Please, go for it.
She writes, "We tend to think those with Alzheimer's are the beneficiaries of our beneficence and mercies. But rather, in the wild unknowns they suffer, those with Alzheimer's draw from us heart's meat. In my own case, I almost forgot I was fighting cancer, so focused was my caring for my mother. At the same time, she gave me something strong for which to live. I could be assured every day that I had much to give and a person I loved to whom to give it. Now, in her absence, the fullness of her presence shines anew. What for others was simply daily, for us took on the cast of the miraculous. How was it that even her sleep could inform my house with her exact presence? How could brushing her waist-length white hair, then braiding it, as she had braided mine as a child, bring such a current of joy? One day we sat in sunshine on the back deck near the scent of lilies as they unlocked. Her exclamation, they smell so beautiful, they're shouting." I love that. And then I think just maybe to read one more little part.
Please.
Because it gets back to the title and what we talked about at the beginning. "I do believe that those dealing with Alzheimer's may witness and help their loved ones more than survive. They may lead us beyond forgetting to the sites of meaning by which we continue to companion each other against seemingly relentless odds. Their knowledge within the community may move consciousness of the malady, loss of memory, past this identifying disqualification of disease. We may mistakenly think forgetting eclipses other human abilities when it most surely does not." In the same way that the poetry and stories we find unforgettable pass into us and become an essential element of our bodily and spiritual knowledge, our encounters with Alzheimer's can lift us, even when they are most dire, precisely because they courageously enact what moves us, makes us feel crushed or abandoned, tender and longing for things to be otherwise." So I'll stop there, but I hope that you might buy the book and read the whole beautiful foreword. These are just little samples of it.
The foreword is amazing. The book is amazing. Now, Holly, I don't want to blindside you here. As a caregiver and also as the editor of this book, we know, you and I know, that sometimes caregivers are able to, for any number of reasons or assortment of reasons, able to keep their person at home. Sometimes they're not. And that's not a right or wrong, good or bad. It just has to do with family and capacity and the progression of the disease. There are pieces in the book about residential facilities and visiting a person in a facility or someone going in and out of a facility. Can you speak to that piece at all?
Sure. Yeah. In my family, it was a very difficult decision. We kept my mother at home until the last 2 months of her life. My father was a physician, and so we were lucky. And he was in good health. And I have three sisters. The four of us took turns giving him respite.
Ah, smart.
He wanted to do it. You know, it was really a point of honor and pride to him to keep my mother at home as long as he could. But there did reach a point where his health was being compromised.
Sure.
And we knew that he couldn't continue, and we couldn't, you know, continue ourselves. And so we did have to make that difficult choice. And I think one of the things we find is that there's so much more, even in the 10 years since I've lost my mother, I think that the care available has improved, and that the facilities are really learning better how to work effectively with compassion, how to engage people, not just the physical care, which is, of course, important, but the kind of emotional, spiritual connection that's part of being alive, too. And so, and some of the poems do address that. I just read last week, actually, with a poet who lives in Tacoma, Kay Mullen, and her sister was afflicted with Alzheimer's disease, and so when she went to visit her, she wrote a poem about that. And I can read that, or did you have another one in mind?
No, I'd like to hear that one, but we've got to go to break, so mark the place, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Life here could be complicated were it not for Clallam Transit. They have a lot of services that all are affordable and easy to use. If you don't have a car, you still have wonderful and convenient transportation, your freedom to travel fully intact. You can easily plan a visit to friends, a shopping trip, or a grocery run, and you can participate in committee, club, and volunteer work when you depend upon Clallam Transit. Call Clallam Transit for full information on public transit for wherever life takes you.
Now's the time to make the move to Parkview Villas. Enjoy the golden years of your life at Parkview Villas Assisted Living Facility. Parkview Villas has the lowest monthly assisted living fees in Clallam County. You'll enjoy fun-filled activities, beautiful surroundings, housekeeping, and meals every day. And move in now and you'll receive a $500 off move-in special. Call Parkview Villas today at 452-7222 to schedule a tour. Parkview Villas. Bring retirement to life.
Olympic Medical Center congratulates local orthopedic surgeons Dr. Jim Mowry and Dr. Bob Watkins, who were recently honored with the 2010 Outstanding Rural Health Provider Award from the Washington Rural Health Association. Dr. Mowry and Dr. Watkins earned this distinction due to their efforts to sustain 24/7 emergency orthopedic surgery in our community, in turn helping to maintain our vital Level 3 Trauma Center. On behalf of Olympic Medical Center, thank you, Dr. Mowry and Dr. Watkins, for your compassion, expertise, and exceptional service.
Here's what's coming up at the Port Angeles Senior Center.
Treat yourself well, become a member of the Port Angeles Senior Center, and open the door to more fun and opportunities than you can imagine. Interesting trips and tours. Our program includes over 55 different recreational and social opportunities. There is something for everyone under the roof of the Port Angeles Senior Center. We offer associate memberships for those 45 to 54 years of age. Annual dues are only $18 for city residents, $27 for all others. Full membership begins at age 55, and the annual dues are $16 for city residents and $25 for others. Open the door to fun, friendship, and opportunity. Your membership lasts a full year from the date of purchase. Volunteers are ready to help you Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. For the Senior Center, this is Bert Weiner.
The Port Angeles Senior Center Coffee Lounge needs volunteer to fill some vacant shifts. If you enjoy people, a busy atmosphere, and lots of laughs, this volunteer position is for you. We serve coffee and other beverages, a variety of baked goods, soup, and fresh-made sandwiches. If you would like to help, contact Dee at the Port Angeles Senior Center, 457-7004, or just come in and see us at the Port Angeles Senior Center, 328 East 7th Street. For the Port Angeles Senior Center, this is Juliette Harris.
The Port Angeles Senior Center and Taco Time offer you a choice to feel good, save money, and enjoy tasty food. Taco Time's community fundraising coupon book is now on sale at the PA Senior Center. The coupon books sell for only $1 and save you $5 on yummy Taco Time menu items. Every dollar raised through the sale of the coupon book supports our Olympic Peninsula Senior Games. Come into the Port Angeles Senior Center and purchase several for your friends, family, and don't forget yourself. We're located at 7th and Peabody. For the Senior Center, this is Joe Campbell.
Okay, so the obvious question is, what's up next week? Well, next week we're going to be about drugs. They're all around us. Prescription drugs, over-the-counter drugs, illegal drugs, wars on drugs, commercials for drugs, Canadian drugs, drug plans, scams, and thank you, ma'ams. And on the off chance that you can't afford them, do you understand them? Hey, look, what you don't know could kill you. So, next Saturday's Helpline, we're going to be joined by one of the most important people in our healthcare world, a pharmacist who understands drugs and is willing to explain them to us and answer questions. So, 8:05, next Saturday, right here. Think of it as a medicine show. This morning, Holly Hughes, editor of Beyond Forgetting, poetry and prose about Alzheimer's disease. Holly, you hanging in there?
I am.
Okay, you have a piece for us, please?
I do. This is the piece you mentioned, you asked about, and this was written, this takes place in an Alzheimer's nursing home unit. This was written by Kay Mullen. It's just called The Visit. Take the side gate, the nurse says, then the outer entrance and down the hall to double doors with the numbered key and flashing green light to let you in. We find my sister alone, sitting on the bed's edge, her clasped hands shaking as if cupping dice in a game of Yahtzee. She stares with puzzled eyes, her mouth waiting for words. She strains to speak. I hold her hand as we walk around the rose courtyard more times than I can remember. Back in her room, I feed her ice cream from a cone. We listen to Christmas carols and Mozart. I dance as she sways to the music, smiles. She told me once she rescued me when we were children. Now she can't remember why, nor who it was she saved. This poem is I think it's a hard poem. Even reading it, it's hard to read. And I think, but what I appreciate about it is that even, again, despite, you know, these difficult conditions, and I think, again, the facilities have improved greatly, that in this poem, the poet found something that they could do together, eating ice cream, listening to music, dancing. And I guess that's always there for us, if we can just kind of remember to turn to it. I also wanted to mention, since I have my cat here, that one of the things we used to do, the nursing home my mother was in didn't allow animals, and so we used to smuggle in. She loved her cat, and we used to smuggle the cat into the nursing home in a picnic basket. But I was so glad to learn just at this conference I attended yesterday that now it's very common for many facilities to have animals there and recognize the value of them. So I'm just putting in a little pitch for my cat and dog here, that they're valuable too.
Amen to that. It's a national movement, and it has been for some time, and it's growing. It's a recognition of the obvious in my mind, that there is a connection there that doesn't happen other ways. And again, I didn't mean to blindside you with this thing about facilities, Holly, but you made the incredibly insightful observation earlier that the book is a companion. And a lot of folks who walk the walk wrestle with almost a societal value judgment about, oh, gee, you can't put mom in a facility. What's right is to keep mom at home, and it's bad to go to a facility. No, it isn't, in my opinion. And sometimes it's simply an act of survival.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So we need to call that what it is. Excuse me.
That's right. And, you know, Tess addresses this in her foreword. One of the things she says is that if I could do it over, I would have gotten help earlier. You know, that you really need, in her case, she had help coming into her home to give her a break. So I think there are lots of ways to keep people at home longer if you can get help. Or I think there are also many good choices of facilities now that really do provide compassionate care and really work at engaging people so that it's no longer this sort of stigma about it that I think, you know, even a few years ago there used to be.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. And again, too, there are family situations for any number of reasons, not the least of which might be that people have to work for a living.
That's right.
But there's a lot of other reasons, too, where folks might need to turn to facilities early on in the process. And I just want to say out loud, that's okay. It's understandable, and it happens to a lot of people. We're going to go to our last break. Holly, stick around.
At the Lodge at Sherwood Village, we believe retirement should be the best years of your life. Imagine having all the comforts of home without the work. The Lodge provides restaurant-style dining, housekeeping, a bistro, a beauty salon, and a fully equipped exercise room. Locally owned and operated, the Lodge offers beautiful studio, one- and two-bedroom apartments. Call for a personal tour today. The Lodge at Sherwood Village. Luxury retirement living in Squim. 681-3100.
Clearly, public transit, the bus, is the undisputed winner when you ask most any age their choice for very inexpensive, convenient, and reliable transportation. And those 65 and better who don't look forward to driving after dark or in inclement weather are not staying home. They're taking the bus. Dislike of driving does not mean you can't stay in a productive role. Enjoy life, maintain your freedom and mobility. Call Clallam Transit for details on how they can make your life easier, safer, and less expensive.
It's Wilder Auto's biggest sale of the season. The annual pre-owned mega off-site sale is going on now at the JCPenney parking lot in Squim. Cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, fuel-efficient hybrids, and RVs, all sale-tagged and ready to drive off the lot today and tomorrow only. Don't miss out on excellent selection. On-site financing as low as 2.9% and 2 years of oil changes with every car purchase. Wilder Auto's pre-owned mega parking lot sale.
Okay, I'm Mark, and on the other end of the phone is Holly Hughes, who's the editor of Beyond Forgetting, Poetry and Prose About Alzheimer's Disease. Okay, now, Holly, we're counting down 7 minutes here. And in the next 7 minutes, I'm going to ask you again about the reading in Port Hadlock, and I'm going to ask you again about how can folks get the book. But what else would you like to do in the next 7 minutes?
Well, you know, I was just looking through the book, and there is a poem I'd love to end on. I think it's a really lovely kind of a benediction in a way for what I think we all want for those we love. So I'd love to read that.
Please.
And can I go ahead and do that?
Please. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And it's also nice for me to read it because I just met this writer, Rick Kempa is his name, this poet who's from Wyoming, and he joined us at the reading in Denver, and this is called Prayer for My Mother. And he did, in his case, he was able to keep his mother at home with him and his wife and his two teenage children, and eventually she is now in a nursing home. So this is the poem that he wrote for her, mm-hmm. Prayer for My Mother. Let every moment of every day break upon her with a dazzle of utter newness, and let her exult in it. Let wonder rule, the sky more lovely than she's ever seen, the birds that come by the hundred to her feeder. Please let her forget that she does not remember. Let her lose somehow the torment of losing her mind. Let there be insight in the one page that over and over for days she reads for the first time, never gets beyond. Let the living past be vibrant in her dreams each night, her mother, her brother at her side, showering her with love. Please let her eyes open in the morning, not to the despair of the lost at sea, but to the familiar play of sunlight in the leaves outside her window, the solid sense that she is safe, the firm ground of home.
Whew. Please let her forget that she does not remember.
Yeah.
Holly, was this a tough project for you? I mean, could you just go like maybe a couple hours and like, whoa, this is too much? Or no, you just kind of burn through it? I mean, this would be a taxing thing for me.
Well, it's an interesting question, Mark. I think for me it was my process of grieving the loss of my mother, and I was teaching full time. I was in an MFA program. I had a very full plate, and I didn't have time to grieve. But doing this project, as I said earlier, I was frequently working on this in the wee hours of the night.
Yeah.
That's the only time I had, and I think, and so I was in tears. A lot, you know, you can imagine reading these poems for the first time.
Yeah.
And it was so fresh the grief was still very much within me, kept spilling out. But it was good. I mean, I think it was a good process. I think I was holding a lot inside that I might not have released otherwise. And so I was grateful for the project as a way to give me a way to focus my grief in a way that I hoped, you know, might be helpful to others.
Well, catharsis is a good thing, but it's also exhausting.
It is.
I mean, it'll drain you right now.
It is.
Tell us again now. There's a reading coming up in Port Hadlock. Say it again, please.
That's right. May 12th. At the WSU Extension in Port Hadlock in the Spruce Room at 7 p.m. I will be joined by Tess Gallagher, who wrote the beautiful Moving Forward from Port Angeles, Alice Derry, another wonderful poet also from Port Angeles, and Lana Hechtman Ayers, who's from Kingston. So all Peninsula poets. And the book will be available for sale that night. We'll be happy to talk with people. Yeah, we're looking forward
to it. That'll be fun. But for folks who can't make it to Hadlock, how can they get their hands on the book?
They can go to the website, which is beyondforgettingbook.com. And there's a link to Kent State University Press, or they can also get the information to just order it from their local bookstore, which I actually think is better, to support our local bookstores.
Oh, sure. Support our local anything. Amen
to
that.
Yeah, that's right.
Holly, what do you hope readers will take away from Beyond Forgetting?
I hope that they will feel less alone. I think that's really kind of ultimately why I did it. I hope they'll feel comforted. I hope they'll feel that poetry can provide solace. I would love it if there are a few people who don't normally read poetry and discover that the value in it, discover that poetry can be a great way to connect on subjects that are difficult. So I think there's many things that they could take, and I think it will be different for different people, but if just even a handful of poems, you know, speak to that person's experience and comfort them, that will make me happy.
Let me get in behind that. I think a lot of us think of poems and poetry as an academic, highly intellectual exercise, and since most of us don't see ourselves that way, we almost think of it as an alien modality. The fact is that you can read these poems, you can read these books, and just feel. You don't have to take it apart. You don't have to massage it. You don't have to go on and on with 10,000 intellectual shades of gray. You can just feel it. And I think feel the truth. It's an amazing thing.
Thank you for saying that. You know, I'm glad you added that, Mark. I teach poetry, you know, and I know that, and I find this with my students, too, that, you know, there's a lot of, I think, fear about poetry, that you'll have to, there'll be a quiz and you'll have to interpret it and explain the deep inner meaning. And, in fact, you know, I mean, poetry has been around for centuries, and it's an oral tradition, and I think, you know, when you can hear poems read aloud or read them aloud yourself and just let them enter your body in a physical way, you know, just by listening to them without worrying exactly about any kind of dissection or interpretation.
There you go.
The poems will speak to you.
There you go.
And I really did try to choose poems in which I felt that they would resonate with people easily. They would be accessible. People could relate to the writer's experience.
There you go. Holly Hughes, we got to run. Beyond Forgetting, Poetry and Prose About Alzheimer's Disease. Thank you, Holly.
Thank you so much.
Be well, all.
You've been listening to Helpline with Mark Harvey and Holly Hughes today. Stay tuned now for news from ABC. This is News Radio 1450 KONP, Port Angeles Squim. It is 9 o'clock.
ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The Senate's headed for a test vote Monday on financial reform. President Obama used his weekly radio address to explain why he wants the changes.
These reforms would put an end, once and for all, to tax.